finally coming together.
Good news, I'm not well.
Good morning, I'd like to bring the House Committee on Business and Labor to order, please. We've got a little agenda today, and a lot of work sessions today, committee. So, I'm going to start out with 2469. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2469. And if I could get the Insurance Division to come up briefly, committee will need a rule suspension on this bill. The intent is to go ahead and send it to the floor. We're not expecting a fiscal, but we do not have the paperwork at this time. But being that it's an important bill for the Insurance Division, we'd like to move it on to the other side. We do have an amendment on it. Jan, would you give us a description, please?
This is the measure that establishes the requirements for certain insurers to conduct their own risk and solvency assessment and to file the report of the assessment with DCBS. Specifies the conditions for sharing reports and related information, requires reports and related information to be held confidential by the department and others who are in possession of the information, becomes operative January 2016, declares an emergency. The amendment came in this morning at like 10 minutes to 8. It's not even on OLIS yet. It was a very technical amendment, and I think that's what Insurance Division will talk about.
Great. Thank you. If you could just introduce yourself and give us your perspective from the Insurance Division on the amendment to 2469 and the bill overall and what its purpose is for the Insurance Division.
Happy to do so, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Chair Holvey, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Laura Calley, and I'm the Insurance Commissioner with the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And pardon me, House Bill 2469, with I believe they're the -2 amendments that came out this morning, is actually a combination of two model bills that came from the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. And they give the Insurance Division two important financial regulation tools that we use in the protection of consumers to make sure that insurance companies are sufficiently capitalized to pay claims when they come due and that we, as their regulator, understand the risks that face those insurers in determining whether they're sufficiently capitalized. So I'll just briefly touch on the two pieces of the bill and what they do, and I'm also happy to answer any questions. The original bill included what we call the requirement for an own risk solvency assessment, and it basically requires insurance companies of a certain size. I think in this case it's insurance companies that write more than $500 million in premium to file with the Insurance Division an analysis of the risks that face the insurer. And it's really meant to be broader than just, you know, the insurance-related risks, but to understand really enterprise-wide what are the different risks that face an insurer that could jeopardize their financial solvency and could negatively impact consumers. And so it would require an annual filing. We would review and analyze that information, and it would better aid us in ensuring that that consumers are protected. And so that's the original piece of the bill. The amendments add on a second model legislation that's developed by the NAIC, and it refers to a concept known as principles-based reserving, and it's really specific to the life insurance industry, where certain products have, over time, when insurance companies have set up their reserves, and they've had to use a very specific formula to determine what those reserves should be. And so that's just making sure they're setting aside enough money to pay claims. And the problem with using a specific formula is it doesn't always necessarily recognize the individual characteristics of the business, the risk underlying the business, and so it could result in areas where a company is over-reserved. Pardon me. Where a company is over-reserved or potentially under-reserved. And both situations are not good for the insurance buying public. If they're over-reserved, it could mean that they're being charged too much. If they're under-reserved, it could mean the need for future rate increases or potential solvency issues. So the principles-based reserving piece, which is in the amendment, would require insurance companies to instead look at the risks underlying the business and set their reserves appropriately. And so it would rely on their actuaries to conduct an analysis, we would have the regulatory authority to review and assess that those are reasonable at the end of the day. So those are kind of the two big pieces of the bill. They're quite technical in nature, but I think at this point we haven't had a chance to review the amendment in great detail. We're happy to continue working with stakeholders if there are issues that arise, and I'm also happy to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Kinnemer.
Thank you. So I recall, I think one of the stakeholders was Mr. Holt, and I wondered, are his concerns addressed in these amendments, or where are we with that?
Chair Holvey, Representative Kinnemer, I believe that the issues that Tom Holt from Cambia had raised had to do with confidentiality of the own risk solvency assessment. And the Dash 2 amendments, as we had requested they be drafted, did address Mr. Holt's concerns. Since I haven't looked at them in great detail, I don't know if everything's quite there, but that was certainly our intent.
That was the intent.
Yes, that's correct.
Confirmation on that.
Other questions?
Mr. Chair, just to be clear, so what's before us is the bill as it was without the amendments, because they have not been reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't move the bill forward, it dies.
Correct.
On the other hand, it's not complete, and I think there's some concern about that. And you need a rule suspension in order to take this onto the floor, and I guess the intent has been expressed by DCBS that they want to address the concern that was brought to us.
And that's true, and I think the Dash 2 amendment addresses those concerns much better than the base bill.
Yes.
And so if we have a rule suspension, I would intend to adopt the Dash 2 amendment and send it to the floor to get it over to the Senate, where they can continue to make sure that there aren't any other minor adjustments to the bill and stakeholders are okay.
Now, for a rule suspension, we need 8 votes instead of a normal 6 to move a bill. Is that correct?
Correct.
I think maybe Representative Barreto has a question.
Well,
Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I did talk to Tom about this, and I guess I'm a little, I understand someone saying that, yes, I think that his concerns were met in the amendments, not knowing if they were. I feel a little uncomfortable just voting for this right now at this point. It's something I feel like could be addressed next year as this year, but I don't know exactly how.
Well, that's certainly your prerogative.
Thank you.
Any other?
Maybe.
Would you like to stand at ease?
Brief, yeah, could we stand at ease for a moment and let's just make sure.
Okay, we'll stand at ease.
You may want to.
From the militia.
They can't stand my house.
I'd like to reconvene the House Committee on Business and Labor.
I'll send you the patch I'm out.
And I'd like to take a motion to suspend the rules for the purpose of moving House Bill 2469 and rule suspension for adopting the amendment.
Do we need to suspend I can just adopt the amendment without a rule suspension, correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
We are in work session, correct?
We are.
Chair Holvey, I move the Dash 2 amendment into House Bill 2469.
Representative Barton moves the Dash 2 amendment to House Bill 2469.
Mr. Chair.
Discussion?
Yeah, thank you. I thought that has not been agreed to yet. It has not been proofread. Did I misunderstand the earlier testimony?
You did not. They have not thoroughly gone over the Dash 2 since we just got them this morning. And we feel that the intent of the Dash 2 is very much closer to...
It was clearly expressed.
...than the base bill. So
I think we'll put it in the bill.
It's a much more finished bill than the base bill.
Okay. Thank you.
From my perspective. Yep. So we have a motion to adopt the Dash 2 amendment to House Bill 2469. Other discussion? Is there any objection to adopting the Dash 2? Seeing none, they're so adopted. No motion to suspend the rules.
Chair Hovey, I move to suspend the rules for the purpose of moving House Bill 2469 as amended without proper fiscal.
Representative Bart moves to suspend the rules for the purpose of moving House Bill 2469 without the proper paperwork.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
So with that, Matthew, can we have a vote on suspension of the rules?
Representative Beretta?
Aye.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
Aye.
Representative Nunes?
Aye.
Representative Weiner?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenemer?
Aye.
Chair Holden?
Aye. The rules are suspended.
Chair Holby, I move House Bill 2469 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bart moves House Bill 2469 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Widener.
I'll be a no on this. I'd like to see us complete these and finish them over here. It's too bad we were behind on schedule and everything, but just to make sure the Senate does make this bill appropriate and correct everything that needs to be corrected in it. So, thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Matthew, can we have a roll call?
Mr. Chair, just if I could.
Representative Kenemer.
I think some of us still have discomfort in the amendments not being in final form. So
certainly understand.
We are supportive of the intent, but I think we have some responsibilities with regard to the actual and specific content.
Certainly appreciate that. I would feel a little bit uneasy myself doing that, but the
bipartisan concern for sure.
But judging from the importance of this bill continuing to move forward, I really think it does warrant us. We do have the Senate looking at it, and if there are any further changes, it will come back to us for concurrence.
Yeah.
So
there is some evidence that the concerned parties are supportive of these amendments and the intent.
So with that, Matthew, can we have a roll call, please?
Representative Beretta?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
No.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nunes?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenemer?
No.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 2469, having received the votes, is passed. And volunteers for a carrier, Representative Barton will carry. With that, I'll close the work session, House Bill 2469. We'll open a work session on House Bill 2004.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this measure repeals the preemption of charter and statutory authority of the local government to set minimum wage requirements, declares an emergency. No amendments, there's no revenue impact, and there is a fiscal statement issued.
Chair Holby, I move House Bill 2004 to the floor without recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Bart moves House Bill 2004 without recommendation as to passage to the floor and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules. Discussion? Representative Kenemer.
I just have serious reservations about the bill, so I will be a no.
Duly noted. Matthew, could we have a roll call, please?
Representative Beretta?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Excused.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nose?
Aye.
Representative Weiner?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenemer?
No.
Chair Holby?
Aye. Bill 2004 is moved to rules. Close the work session on House Bill 2004. And we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2008.
This measure raises the minimum wage to $12.20 by the year 2017. Requires a minimum wage in years after 2016 to be above the hourly equivalent of the federal poverty guidelines for a family of four. Declares an emergency, no amendment, no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement's been issued.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 2008 without recommendation to the floor without recommendation, and the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Barton moves House Bill 2008 to the floor without recommendation as to passage, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
My bill.
Discussion? Representative Kinnamer?
Ditto from my previous comment. I have serious concerns, I think some of my colleagues do too, about this bill. And,
duly noted.
Thank you.
Matthew, can we have a roll call, please?
Representative Beretta?
No.
Representative Dougherty? Aye. Representative Vesco? No. Representative Evans? Yes. Representative Fagan? Yes. Representative Byrd? No. Representative Nose? Aye. Representative Widener? No. Vice Chair Barton? Aye. Vice Chair Kinnamer? No. Chair Holvey? Aye. This bill 2008 has passed, and the bill has moved to rules. We will close the work session on House Bill 2008 and open a work session on House Bill 2009.
This measure raises the minimum wage and graduated steps to $15 by the year 2018, declares an emergency, no amendment, no revenue, fiscal statement has been issued.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 2009 to the floor without recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Barton moves House Bill 2009 to the floor without recommendation as to passage, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Kinnamer?
Well, actually, Representative Widener.
Representative Widener.
I will chair it around grabs.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll be a no like I was on the other ones. I just worry when we start looking at moving the minimum wage like this, we're going to hurt a lot of low-income Oregonians. We're going to hurt a lot of our college-age students, high school-age students that will not be able to get jobs. When we start doing things like this, we start reducing the rate of some of the basically older workers that are working at lower incomes that might be making $20 an hour. They'll find a wage freeze because the other wages go up and everything. So. I think these are all bad bills, bad for Oregon, and I will be in no vote on this one, to steal the thunder from Representative Kinnamer.
Representative Evans.
Yes, Chair, thank you. I just want to say that, so I understand this correctly, and the folks that are watching from home, without recommendation to rules means we're simply moving the bill to rules, right?
Right.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Yeah. Not indicating that you support or oppose the bill generally. Without
keeping the bill alive.
Without recommendation. So I believe we have a motion on the...
Mr. Chair, if I understand that right, though, keeping it alive would actually show a little bit of support, would it not?
It's just giving it to another committee to entertain.
A lot of people took time out to come and talk to us. It makes sense that we take ample time to find the best solution.
Matthew, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Beretta? Aye. Representative Dougherty? Aye. Representative Vesco? No. Representative Evans? Yes. Representative Fagan? Yes. Representative Byrd? No. Representative Nose? Aye. Representative Widener? No. Vice Chair Barton? Aye. Vice Chair Kinnamer? No. Chair Holvey? Aye. House Bill 2009 is moved to rules.
I'll close the work session on House Bill 2009 and open a work session on House Bill 2012.
This measure raises the minimum wage to $13.50 by the year 2017, declares an emergency, no amendment, no revenue impact, a fiscal statement's been issued.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 2012 to the floor without recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Barton moves that House Bill 2012 be moved to the floor without recommendation as to be passage, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules. Discussion? Representative Kinnamer.
Mr. Chair, again, I guess I would say that I have concerns about this bill and will be voting no, and also I'm not sure we need three vehicles in the rules. I just thought we should add a little addendum.
Well, somebody else must think they do. So,
somebody else must.
So, Matthew.
Would you identify who that was?
So, Matthew, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Brown?
No.
Representative Dougherty?
Aye.
Representative Vesco?
No.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Brogan?
Yes.
Representative Byrd?
No.
Aye.
No.
Vice Chair
Barton? Aye.
Vice Chair
Cameron?
No.
Aye. Bill 2012 was passed to the Committee on Rules, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 2012 and open the work session on House Bill 2386A.
Gone.
Guess you're right. We haven't talked about this one in a while.
This is a measure that authorizes the Labor Commissioner to issue temporary cease and desist orders when there's reason to believe the statutes governing prevailing wage rate, farm and construction labor contracts, wage and hour, and employment conditions have been violated. Authorizes Commissioner to impose a civil penalty when the employer fails to pay wages on a regular payday, and authorizes Commissioner to administratively compel the employer to provide a bond when the employer fails to establish and maintain a regular payday. The proposed A16 amendment prohibits the commissioner from enforcing the temporary cease and desist order that's issued under this section that would preclude the ongoing harvest or distribution of perishable agricultural products, but allows such an order to be enforced after the completion of the harvest or the distribution that was in progress at the time the order was issued.
I know, but which amendment?
The proposed A17 amendment adds previous pattern violations and other credible information to the list of factors on which the commissioner may base his reason to believe that an employer has violated certain laws. Allows the employer to provide a bond in lieu of payment if the temporary cease and desist order mandates compensation to an employee in an amount disputed by the employer. It allows the employer to request a hearing to contest all or part of a temporary cease and desist order. Requires administrative law judge to schedule such a hearing to take place within 30 days after the commissioner receives a request from the employer. And it requires the administrative law judge to issue findings, exceptions, and the order within 30 days of the close of the hearing. Allows the court to award attorney fees to the employer for any proceeding conducted under this section. There's fiscal statements issued on the A16 and the A17. There's no revenue impacts.
Thank you. Representative Barton.
Chair Holby, I move the -16 amendments into House Bill 2386.
The A16.
Representative Barton moves to adopt the A16 amendments to House Bill 2386A.
Mr. Chair.
Discussion. Representative Kinnemer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be supporting the -16s. I think they are among many needed improvements, and so I appreciate them coming forward.
Thank you.
Because they address the issue of perishable crops and some other matters that where time is absolutely of the essence. Unfortunately, it doesn't change the change in authority and the change of who is responsible to prove innocence in this case.
Representative Evans.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just want to say, number one, thanks for working so hard on this when we got it back. Number two, I know that not everybody loves everything about this, but it does address the due process, attorney's fees, and some of the other issues that were specifically cited in testimony. And I don't know if it's a full loaf, a half loaf, but it seems like we made a lot of progress, and I appreciate that effort.
Thank you. And you're speaking to the next amendment, but not this one.
The totality, yes, sir.
So on the -16 amendments, is there any objection to adopting the -16 amendments? Mm-hmm. Seeing none, the -16 is adopted.
State base.
Representative Barton.
Chair Holby, I move to adopt the A17 amendments into House Bill 2386.
Representative Barton moves to adopt the A17 amendments to House Bill 2386A. Discussion. Is there any objection to adopting the -17 amendment?
Yeah, I do not support it.
I'm not as well.
Matthew, can we have a roll call vote on the -17 amendment, please?
Representative Perretta?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
No.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Byrd?
Clarification, Mr. Chair. -17, the last bit there, for any proceeding conduct under subsection of this section, a court may award attorney fees. So that's loser pays. Is that essentially what I'm hearing there?
No.
What does that mean?
The court may award attorney fees in a contested case hearing. We have legislative counsel here if you want to ask specific questions. Although I don't know that Charlie drafted this bill.
fine.
Are you?
No.
Representative
Beck? Yes.
Representative Wagner?
No.
Vice Chair Burrs?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kettner?
No.
Chair Holden?
Aye. The A-17 amendments are adopted. House Bill 2386.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 2386 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Sam Barton moves House Bill 2386A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Doherty.
Okay. The one thing about this bill, this is a much better bill than was introduced. And I think what it does is it levels the playing field between bully and the employer. And so I think this was something that was definitely needed and something that we expressed as a committee. And so I appreciate you working very much on that.
Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be a no on this because I think when the Labor Commissioner came up and spoke and everything, he's just trying to speed up the process. I think we have a court system for handling this, and it was working fine. I think we should have left things alone. And every time we went to where the defendant prevailed, the Labor Commissioner was against it. I'm worried about us putting this much power into a Labor Commissioner's hands, no matter who the Labor Commissioner is. Even if it was me being dictator for a day as Labor Commissioner, I would love to have this kind of power, but we have a judicial system for handling it, and I will be a no.
Other discussion?
Just very briefly, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the efforts to improve the bill. I still think it's severely flawed. Thank you.
Matthew, can we have a roll call?
Representative Beretta?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Escobar?
No.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nuss?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron?
No.
Chair Holden?
Aye. House Bill 2386A is passed, and I'll carry that one. And we'll close the work session, House Bill 2386A.
Mr. Chair, I would like to serve notice of a possible minority report on House Bill 2386A.
Duly noted. A work session on House Bill 2764.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this is the measure that addresses the attorney fees for workers' compensation claimant attorneys. The proposed Dash 1 amendment has been discussed in committee before. It deletes the proposed provision that directs the board to increase fees biennially and instead directs the board to review attorney fees biennially. The proposed Dash 3 amendment requires the insurer to pay reasonable attorney fees based on an hourly rate for work related to personal and telephonic interviews and depositions. Modifies proposed language directing the board in what must be considered when establishing attorney fees. There is no revenue impact on the Dash 1 or the Dash 3, and a fiscal statement has been issued on the Dash 1 and the Dash 3.
Thank you, Representative Barton.
Chair Holvey, I move the Dash 1 amendments in House Bill 2764.
Sim Barton moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2764. I will note that we did discuss this bill at some length last Friday. Weren't able to get the amendments that came out of the MLAC recommendation that they voted on last Friday ready for movement today. So we're the chair and I believe we're comfortable moving this bill forward at, with the Dash 1, Dash 3 amendment. And MLAC recognizes the importance of this bill and comfortable moving forward. Representative Kinnemer.
Mr. Chairman, I think we had quite a discussion last Friday, and I appreciated that, and I appreciate you holding the bill over. I think we had hopes that things would be in better order than they are. So I suspect a lot of us are going to be voting no, but we had also agreed we'd reserve most of our comments for the floor discussion.
Thank you. Any other?
Do you want to have discussion? Legislative Council speak to these amendments or not? Do these reflect IMLAC's decision? They do not. No.
Okay.
There's no need to. Thank you.
They come close, though. Representative Burton.
That's a matter of
Chair Holby, I will echo in part what Representative Kenemer said. Well, we had hoped that the amendments reflecting the MLAC consensus that I believe was reached last Friday morning would be ready. Understand that it just wasn't possible. Thank you. Sorry to ruin your weekend, Charlie. And that even though we are just time forces us to move the bill with the dash one and dash threes, I still consider this a triumph of the MLAC process that was really put to the test this session. I really appreciate everyone, both the parties underneath and then MLAC on top of it, working to forge a consensus, even if it's not, the paperwork isn't technically ready today.
Could we have a, I assume there's objection to adopting the
yes.
Dash one. Matthew, can we have a roll call on the dash one amendment?
Representative Barreto?
No.
Representative
Doherty? Aye.
Representative Escobar?
No.
Representative Evans?
Yep. Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nose?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No. No.
Vice Chair
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron?
No.
Chair Holvey?
Aye. Now the dash one amendment is adopted.
Chair Holvey, I move the dash three amendments in House Bill 2764.
Representative Barton moves to adopt the dash three amendments to House Bill 2764. Discussion?
I will be a no.
Seeing none, Matthew, can we have a roll call, please?
Representative Barreto?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Escobar?
No.
Representative Evans?
Yes. Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nose?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenmer?
No.
Chair Holden?
Aye. The dash three amendments are adopted to House Bill 2764.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 2764 as amended to the floor at the due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves House Bill 2764 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? I also would like to comment about the IMLAC process. I really do appreciate them working hard on trying to come to some agreement on this and recognizing the amount of time that it took them to do that and our time schedule. I was really appreciative of them also giving us a letter, recognize the importance of this bill and not wanting it to be stopped or slowed down in the process towards passage. So we'll continue to work with IMLAC to work with their recommendations on the Senate side, and I expect to see a concurrence vote back on the House with this bill.
Mr. Chair, thank you for your comments.
So with that, Matthew, could we have a roll call?
Representative Barreto?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Escobar?
No.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nose?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenemer?
No.
Chair Holvey?
Aye. House Bill 2764 is passed. Representative Fagan, would you like to carry that bill on the floor? Close the work session, House Bill 2764.
Mr. Chair, question for you.
Representative Widener.
If we actually could get the language together, we could do a minority report and have the right bill on the floor.
Yeah.
If you know,
yes.
I was just thinking that.
Don't think so.
Well, you have but 2 hours to serve minority notice if you wish. I think.
I'll think about it, rules. Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be something to check with counsel on.
It's certainly your prerogative. So with that, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2005.
Chair, committee members, this is the paid sick leave bill. We left off with the committee amendment from the chair being the dash 22, which replaces the original measure, which has been under discussion prior. There is no revenue impact on the dash 22, and a fiscal statement has been issued.
Chair Holvey, I move the dash 22 amendment into House Bill 2005.
Representative Barton moves to the dash 22 amendment be adopted to House Bill 2005. Discussion? Seeing none, Matthew, could we have a vote?
Representative Beretta?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
No.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nuss?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenner?
No.
Chair Holvey?
Aye. The dash 22 is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move the dash 19 amendments.
Representative Widener moves to adopt the dash 19 amendments to House Bill 2005. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would think that these are something that would provide long-term sick leave for employees, something they could build up that would actually help them further along in life. I mean, it's a true program that could give them security at retirement if they don't use it, but it also give them security if they ever come down with a severe illness or anything like that. So that's why I'm moving the dash 19 amendments. I think it's something that could actually change the way this country functions and our social security system and everything else. So.
Representative Doherty.
I just have a question of Representative Widener. Does the employee pay for the days or the employer under your proposal?
Under this one here, it's a long-term benefit that is the employee's money, and that's theirs to go with them wherever they go, whoever they're employed by.
The employee pays for their own sick leave?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Holvey.
And Representative Barton.
Yeah, again, I appreciate Representative Widener's creative legislating, but just given the timeline today, I will be a no.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, excuse me, you got a vote coming up. Thank you. Another amendment afterwards. I'm sorry.
Matthew, can we have a roll call on the dash 19?
Representative Beretta?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
No.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
No.
Representative Fagan?
No.
Representative Hurd?
Yes.
Representative Nuss?
No.
Representative Widener?
Yes.
Vice Chair Barton?
No.
Vice Chair Kenner?
No. Excuse me, yes. Let me change my vote. Excuse me.
It feels a little weird, doesn't it?
It does. Well, I'm distracted and almost did the official screw up. I'm a yes. Thank you for that correction.
Representative Kinnemer is a no. The chair is aye. So with that,
Mr. Chair,
the dash 19 amendment fails.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kinnemer.
I'd like to move the dash 18 amendments. These were the amendments that Representative Olson brought to us after a task force that he worked with.
Representative Kinnemer moves the dash 18 amendments to House Bill 2005. Discussion? Representative Barton.
Mr. Chair, respect to my colleague, I will be voting no on this.
Thank you, and I appreciate Representative Olson's amendment. I will be voting no on them, too, though they do come very close to the Dash 22s. I appreciate his work and input on it. So with that, Matthew, can we have a roll call on the Dash 18?
Representative Beretta?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
No.
Representative Esquivel?
Yes.
Representative Evans?
No.
Representative Fagan?
No.
Representative Hurd?
Yes.
Representative Nuss?
No.
Representative Widener?
Yes.
Vice Chair Barton?
No.
Vice Chair
Kenner?
Yes.
Chair
Holder? No. The dash 18 amendment has failed. Mr. Barton?
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 2005 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Barton moves House Bill 2005 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules. Discussion?
Mr.
Matthew, can we have a roll call? Did you have discussion?
I was just going to ask what was the reasoning for going to rules rather than to the floor with this bill.
The bill can't go to the floor, first of all. It has a fiscal impact, and it's going on to the Committee on Rules to see if there's further adjustments they may want to make to the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Matthew, can we have a roll call vote? Oh, Representative Fagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a comment, as I understand this is going without recommendation.
With recommendation.
Oh, with recommendation. Good, because I wanted to express my support for this bill. And, you know, we had hours of testimony on this bill, and when I looked at it, the great weight of the evidence shows the need for this. In fact, even the opponents that came up, the vast majority of business owners who were saying they don't support it, already offer something more generous, which to me shows that taking good care of your employees is good business practices. And so, and in particular, kind of the parade of horribles that we've heard about what paid sick leave could do, I would imagine that the opponents could at least bring one business owner who has had to shut their doors since Portland implemented this, and there were none. In fact, with the, you know, the particular evidence that, or the arguments we've heard against this, you'd think that employers would be lined up outside the doors and down State Street with stories about having to close their doors, and there was no testimony, at least that I recall, from the hearing or in written testimony from anybody saying, yeah, when this was implemented in Portland, you know, I shut my doors or I laid off people. So I just don't think that that, at least in the evidence that we've seen, is credible as an argument against this bill. So I'm happy that we're moving this and certainly hope to see it on the floor. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other discussion? Thank you, Representative Fagan. Matthew, could we have a roll call?
Representative Beretta?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Espinel?
No.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nose?
Aye.
Representative Wagner?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ketterer?
No.
Chair Holby? Aye. House Bill 2005, having received the votes, is moved to the Committee on Rules. And we'll stand at ease for, I'll close the work session, House Bill 2005, and stand at ease.
I'd
like to reconvene on the House Committee on Business and Labor, and I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 3304.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this is a measure that deals with the examination for landscape contractors, and the Dash 3 amendment is a replacement of the original measure. It allows a person applying for a landscape construction professional license to satisfy the examination requirement by either passing a written exam or passing an 8-hour skills test and attending a 6-hour business practices class. It requires the board to offer practical skills testing 3 weeks each year starting May 2016. Directs the board to establish an applicant fee to offset the full cost of the practical skills test and the business practices class. And it requires a written examination to be translated to Spanish by January 1, 2016. Requires the board to report to the Legislative Assembly regarding implementation of the skills test in the business practices class. Declares an emergency. There's no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement was just released while we were in committee this morning, and you have a copy before you.
Thank you. And Representative Hurd, would you like to speak to the Dash 3 amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Wait a second. Let's get a
motion.
Representative Kennemer, would you give us a motion on the Dash 3?
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the Dash 3 amendments.
Representative Kennemer moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3304. Representative Hurd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I strongly support the Dash 3s. I've worked really hard with some different folks, either at the board or with the lobby, and just trying to come up with the cleanest, easiest to apply bill that I could. I'm trying to give the board as much room as possible for them to come up with a skills test, whether they want to do that themselves or subcontract it. I'm just trying to give them as much room in this bill as I can to do what they think is the best way of going about this. As far as what I believe it'll accomplish for a lot of folks, we talk about in this committee, especially trying to help people in poverty rise out of it. and I feel like opportunity is the main ingredient you need for that. And as somebody who has gone through the testing and is a licensed landscape contractor, I want to try to, with my experience I look back on, I want to try to make it somewhat easier for people to accomplish the goals that I sought out to accomplish. I feel like it's extremely necessary that the Spanish translation is there, because if a first-generation American cannot read English well or at all, they cannot become a licensed landscape contractor in this state in the current circumstance. So I strongly support the Dash 3.
Thank you. Other discussion? Representative Doherty.
I appreciate the parties working together to get, I think, a much better bill than what they had before, and I really appreciate the idea that the test will also be done in another language.
Thank you. I don't believe we had any testimony on OLIS. I did get an email personally from the Southern Oregon Landscaper Association, who was not supportive of this bill. We did contact the Landscape Contractors Board several times, so I know you've been in discussion with all of them, but they did not weigh in on this bill with us. I think they're in the audience right now. I do note that there is a fiscal of 8 FTE expected on this bill, and it will have to go to Ways and Means. And I do have concerns about whether the bill will adequately test someone's knowledge with just a practical test. But like Representative Doherty, I also believe we should really have this test in Spanish as well. So I think I'll be supporting the bill as such, though I do have those concerns about the knowledge levels that will be tested through a practical test. And I think that's going to be up to the board to figure out whether that's adequate or not. We have not heard from them whether it is or whether it isn't, or whether it can be done or can't be done, but it does seem like it's going to have a bit of a fiscal. So I think the Ways and Means process is appropriate for this, and the board's going to have to work in the Ways and Means Committee to further refine I think that practical test, from my point of view. Representative Kinnemer.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the work to get to this point. I guess the fiscal has me quite concerned, and I guess I find myself reflecting back to my service in the Senate in the previous century, when it was fairly common to have on bills that boards and jurisdictions did not like what were outrageous fiscals to do substantial harm to the bill. Perhaps I miss it, but I certainly can't see where eight FTE and $261,339 is necessary to implement this bill. There will be a modest number of people doing it. They already do a lot of this work. I don't know how many really serve in the agency, but I find it reprehensible, and it'll be in my memory for quite a while.
Another discussion.
I have one more comment, Mr. Chair, if I may. And that, you know, again, I'm a freshman here, so I'm still learning a lot. You folks have a lot more experience than I do, so you can see this stuff for what it is better than I can yet. I thought I had handled this because I put in the amendment, the Dash 3, that is, that it was fully on the backs of the applicants to pay for it. Now, I understand there's startup costs, but after that, it should be revenue neutral from that standpoint, or cost neutral, however you want to say it, because it's supposed to be just like the current test, the written test, the applicants pay the full burden of the financial costs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm somewhat confused by it.
Sometimes fiscals confuse us all.
Yeah.
Representative Barton.
Thank you. I certainly wouldn't say it with the same intensity of Representative Kinnemer. Nor am I trying to suggest that there was any sinister intent. Having said that, I do think that there's some legitimate questions about this fiscal, particularly the disconnect between the fiscal statement and the revenue statement. To the extent that these costs are to be borne by fees, I would think that they are naturally going to be equal. And I'm sure that there is a simple explanation for it. I don't know what that is, but hopefully, I don't want to hold it up today. We'll move it down to Ways and Means, and perhaps some further analysis can be done on this fiscal and revenue, because it raises an eyebrow.
Certainly. had we gotten some responses earlier, we could have had those discussions in this committee further. But today, it's either move the bill forward, and they can have the discussions in Ways and Means.
Agreed.
So with that, we have a motion to adopt the Dash 3. Mm-hmm. Is there any objection to adopting the Dash 3 amendment? Seeing none, the Dash 3 is adopted. Representative Kinnamer.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3304 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
As amended.
Thank you.
Representative Kinnamer moves House Bill 3304 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion? Seeing none. Matthew, could we have a roll call vote?
Representative Brenna?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
Yes.
Representative Escobar?
Yes.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
Yes.
Representative Dunst?
Yes.
Representative Widener?
Yes.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kinnamer?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 3304 passes and moves to the Committee on Ways and Means, and we'll close the work session on House Bill 3304.
Congratulations, Mr. Chair, on your first unanimous bill.
So with that,
congratulations on your first yes vote.
You're out of order.
I think you're out of order.
That we will stand at ease.
Even though there's full reimbursement for it.
I'd like to reconvene the House Committee on Business and Labor, and we're going to open a work session, House Bill 3025.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this is the measure that establishes the unlawful employment practice related to the misuse of information about criminal charges and convictions. The proposed Dash 4 amendment replaces the original measure, and in it, it establishes an unlawful employment practice for an employer to use a job application form that inquires about the applicant's conviction history, or to inquire about or consider an applicant's conviction history prior to an interview, or if no interview is conducted, if no interview is conducted, you may not inquire about their conviction history prior to making a conditional offer of employment. And the Dash 4 amendment also removes the emergency clause. There is no revenue impact on the Dash 4, and while we are in recess, the fiscal impact on the Dash 4 came in, and it's discussing the cost per investigation for Boley to conduct this and saying that, in general, the fiscal impact cannot be determined. They do not know how many cases there would be.
Legislative Council, please. First the fiscal.
Sorry, Chair.
Representative Barton, can we have a motion on the Dash 4?
Chair Holby, I move the Dash 4 amendments into House Bill 3025.
Representative Barton moves Dash 4 amendments be adopted to House Bill 3025. Discussion. Representative Doherty.
I have a question. Sorry, Counselor, for bringing you back. But the question I had, and it was an issue that was brought up before that I thought was a very good one, is that the way that before this amendment is that I interview, I have a conviction, and let's say it was for fraud or theft or something like that. I am offered a job by a company, and it happens to be in their finance department, and then they find this out, and they say, we can't have you in our finance department, you're fired, but I quit my job over here, which meant, you know, how come I had a job over here and then I went to you? And so the question is, and so I could, as an employee, maybe take an action against the person that fired me because I had quit a job down the road. With the amendments that you have, does a conditional offer of employment mean that the employee would know, you know, if you have a conviction, there's a and depending on what it is there a possibility that I may not give you the job? So in other words, the person that applies for the job knows that.
Chair Holvey, Representative Daugherty, Charlie Cheek from Legislative Council. I'm not sure I'm following your question completely, but what the way I see this in the Dash 4 amendment now, I think, is what you're asking about. Sub 3, the new Sub 3 provision, which says inquire into or consider conviction history of an applicant for employment prior to making the conditional offer of employment to the applicant when no interview is conducted. So if you made the conditional offer to the employee, and then you could ask them at that point, and then if they didn't reveal it to you, they would have violated what your rights as the employer would have been to learn about that fraud conviction, so you could terminate them.
Okay, that makes a little sense. Because my only concern was I quit a job, I get a job over here, and then the person goes, well, we found out about your conviction after I gave you the job, and because of your conviction, you're not going to fit into that job well enough. And then I'm over here going, hey, I quit my job over here for this guy. I'm going to sue the employer.
Well, again, as the Dash 4s are drafted, I think that would prevent that.
Okay.
Because that wouldn't arise until after the conditional offer was made. But it is an interesting point, I think, that you raised, Representative Daugherty, in that, frankly, if I was in that situation and I was applying for a job, fiscal responsibilities were involved, and I had a conviction for fraud, I would be revealing it to my when I applied.
I mean, that was the smart thing to do.
Because it's going to come out at some point.
Yeah, but this should cover the employer a little bit.
Absolutely.
Better.
I think the way this is
that was my concern.
Protect them.
Yes. You answered it. Thank you.
Representative Widener, more discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Charlie, I guess my question is, because we brought up the banking industry here, aren't they required to ask by federal statute?
There are certain things that you have to, certain qualifications, yes, for certain types of banking jobs. Now, I don't specifically know what questions they have to ask or what you might have to reveal in the context of that particular type of employment. However, if it was a federal law, it would preempt this anyway. So if the feds, if the federal legislation says that in order to work in a bank or a financial institution, you have to, whatever, that would control over this.
So follow up. So like securities, banking, things like that, they could just go ahead and keep using their same application and ask those questions? And
I would assume so if it was in compliance with the federal law. Now, it's not an area that I'm familiar with, that federal requirements. But if there is a federal requirement for that type of some employment, certification, bank, to be, or like you say, securities, whatever, that, again, I think would preempt this provision. So the feds, that type of employer could ask initially.
Because if the federal law allowed
it. If the federal law required that, yes.
Yeah. Representative Barreto, further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One other question here as I was reading through, the wording here is the same as in the Dash 2s, I think, and it says in Section 1, 2 and 3 both say, inquire into or consider the conviction history, which consider the conviction history would infer that the employer already knows about this. And in a small town, like where we are, I mean, these things do get around. And so if they applied for a job and you didn't bring them in for an interview and they said, oh, it was because you already knew about my previous felony, do they have that opportunity to go back and sue the employer for not getting an interview?
I suppose that, anyone can sue anyone. Excuse me. Chair Holy Representative Barreto, they could bring an action, but I think it would be very difficult for them to prevail if the employer maintained that I didn't consider that. There's lots of gossip in town that we hear about, small towns, right? And I hear about people, Charlie's promiscuous, and we don't want him to work in our business.
So just their word against your word.
Yeah, and I think the burden still lies with the claimant going forward to prove that was why the employer actually terminated.
Thank you.
So the burden's on the claimant.
Other discussion?
Okay, just one more. And this
Representative
would be
Barreto, follow up?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Follow up, Mr. Chair, thank you. Following Representative Widener's, you know, he mentioned banking, and that was a federal issue, but what about city police, county sheriff, state police, when it comes under an occupation where they would not necessarily want a convicted felon in there?
Well, again,
or there may be something in statute that says they can't.
Yes, Chair Holder, Representative Barreto, I think in those instances, again, it would be primarily covered through the ability to make the conditional offer. You know, you qualify on the surface, so now we're going to make a conditional offer to employ you as an officer. But at this point, now we're going to inquire, and the law allows us to do that.
Okay. Other discussion? Representative Evans.
I just want to say thank you for getting, I think, a much better bill. This amendment gets us to where the issues originally came across, at least me, and I think it's going to do good and still protect small business owners.
Thank you. And Charlie, for the record, we appreciate you coming back and serving this committee throughout this first half of the session. You've really been
doing a great job.
So.
And if I could, Chair Holvey, I'd also like to extend your thanks to Gail Stevens, who's been working with me, you know, side by side on all this.
Yes, stuff, so. She has.
Thank you very much.
She's done a great job. Thank you. Thanks again. Seeing no other discussion on the Dash 4 amendment, is there objection to adopting the Dash 4 amendment? Seeing none, the Dash 4 amendment's adopted.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 3025 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves House Bill 3025 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Widener.
Mr. Chair, I will be a no on the bill today. I think this is a burden kind of on employers having to do a conditional. It's almost doubling your interview process and everything where you think you might have somebody and then you have to extend a conditional find out, and then they're not going to work out for your business and everything. I think it's just going to kind of create controversy in the workplace. So I will be a no.
Thank you. Other discussion? I do disagree with your opinion of what that Dash 4 does. I think this bill does provide plenty of protections for employers and also gives an opportunity for people who have been incarcerated and have a second chance and an opportunity to move forward in life and gives them an opportunity to stay out of jail in the future because they can get a job. So I really think this bill is headed the right direction and appreciate all the work that's gone into it. Representative Kinnemer.
Mr. Chair, I guess I would concur that it's headed in the right direction. I just don't concur that we've got it right yet. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your opinion. I think we got it about as right as we're going to get it. Okay. Representative Hurd.
If I may, I agree with your statement that we want to help people move along with their lives and get them back in the swing of things. But like what my vice chair said, I'd like to see a little more work done on it, but I support the direction.
Other discussion? Seeing none. Matthew, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Barreto?
No.
Representative
Jordan? Aye.
Representative
Westphal? No.
Aye.
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative
Nose?
Aye. Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair
Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gamer?
No.
Chair Holden?
Aye. House Bill 3025, having received the votes, is passed. And it looks like the last House bill we'll be doing, we'll have Representative Nose carry the bill.
Thank you, Mr.
With
Chair.
With that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 3025. Any other business before us?
How are Friday's calendars?
Oh, yeah. Are we going to meet Friday? Or?
It is unclear to me whether we are or not. There is a likelihood that we do not meet on Friday.
God, that'd be awesome.
You'd be Chair of the Year if you make that happen.
Who said that?
Don't screw it up, Jim.
I think I've already been nominated. I'm not sure I need your vote. So with that, no other business. With that, we will adjourn the House Committee of Business Labor.